We're continuing in Acts chapter 4 today.
Most of the authorities in this world would be made up of unsaved people. Many of them are crooked, you might say, but they'll have to answer to the Lord for that. We're told that we're to be subject to the authorities. But notice what we have here in Acts. When they're told, ones were told not to speak in the name of the Lord, they said, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to yield to God. Basically, in a paraphrase, they put it in their lap. What do you think? You or God? Who do I listen to? Well, think of this. What would have happened if they had said, okay, we'll just back off? What if in chapter 4 of Acts they had said, okay, we won't. We won't say anything else. What would have happened from Acts 5 on? I mean, would we have any more in the book of Acts? What would have happened if they had graciously said, okay, fine. We won't preach in that name. But we see that this was one point that they had to stand firm with those in authority. You could think also back in the Old Testament, book of Daniel, there was a second reason. When one said you cannot pray to God, Daniel, even a man of authority, in front of his open window, prayed three times a day. Those are two things that we have the responsibility before God not to yield on, and that is prayer and giving out His Word. So when we think of these things, it's interesting that the Lord had even warned them that there would be persecution. Back in the Gospels, let me just point out a couple of places. In Matthew 10, whenever we see the Lord was sending them out, He sent 12 out. Jesus sent them forth, tells us in Matthew 10. And I'm going to cut down in the middle of this, talking about them going on their journeys. And it says in Matthew 10, and it starts at verse 5, but let's pick up at verse 11. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who it is worthy, and there abide till ye go hence. And when ye come into a house, salute it. And if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. But if it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. Drop down, and after we read that, just pick up the context. Look at verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the council, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. And ye shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. In one other place in the book of John, in John 16, in the upper room ministry, the Lord speaking here, teaching the disciples before His death and His departure back to heaven. He tells us in John 16, He says, these things, verse 1 and 2, have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended or stumbled. This is right in the middle of the teaching here. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service. Understand that's the word for religious service. Think of Saul of Tarsus and his conversion. We'll see that in just a few chapters, won't we, in Acts 9. But here, the Lord had warned them what would happen. And here we find it going on in Acts already, chapters 3 and 4. Well, let's just take a few minutes and conclude this study and this chapter. We've seen here the boldness with spiritual authority by the apostles. We've seen the lack of spiritual discernment by the Sadducees. And we've seen the spiritual authority coming from the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, in closing, if you notice from verses 23 down to the end of the chapter, here we see kind of concluding thoughts. We see how when they were let go, Peter and John went back and, in a sense, reported, kind of was debriefed. Debriefing themselves what had happened to the brethren. And they kind of give a little report. They actually quote from Psalm chapter 2, as our brother spoke on, I believe, this past Sunday. If you notice, picking up at verse 23, we're going to close out by just reading this. It's pretty self-explanatory. Just notice a few things. They come and report to the brethren. And they talk about the attitude of what they come across. And what does it result in? It results in them being of one mind. and being of one accord. And we see the unity of the brethren here, just like in Acts 2 when the church was born in a day there in Acts chapter 2. Remember that chapter closed out with it saying that they continued daily with one accord. And they had all things in common, and it talked about how they were in gladness and the singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. The attitude continues. The people come back, Peter and John, and they report what happened, and they remain of one mind. Verse 23 reads, "And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. When they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which has made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them." Verse 25, "Who by the mouth of thy servant David hath said, Why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth against the holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of that holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus, having laid land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." Let's just close with a word of prayer. Father, again, we're encouraged when we see the unity of mind of the believers here, of these early saints. Father, how they were of one accord, and even in the practical things, because of their situation they found themselves in, here they were having in common all things and helping one another. Father, we're so encouraged that most of all they were of one mind spiritually, and that was the foundation of their attitude and their working together. So, Father, we thank you for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the very same name that we bow to and we desire to be of one mind in. So, Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is by his name and his name only whereby we must be saved.